you're going to be, that everybody's going to tell you off because you're wrong. And this guy we're going to get is a Swinski. He strikes out all the time. You want this? You want Swinski again?
Who do you want? Give me a name.
I want a starting player.
No, give me a name. Give me a name.
I don't know.
You seem like a smart guy. You seem like a genius, as a matter of fact. You don't even have a name on the tip of your tongue. Give me a name.
I'm not the GM.
Give me a name. Give me a name. You're comparing this guy who you've never seen to Jack Swinski. You must be pretty smart. Give me a name. One name. One name. No, you don't have one. Thanks for the call. Smart guy.
He was close to getting a name.
Smart guy. He knows that Owen Casey is the next Jack Swinski, but doesn't have one single name that he can give me. The year before, by the way, Mitch Keller went from having a really good year to a 6.28 ERA in July, well over 4 in August, and then well over 5 in September. So let's see if Mitch Keller can finish a season. That's number one. And number two, if you're starting to get cold feet about trading Mitch Keller, what are you doing? They need offense here. I like the previous call, the guy who saw Bubba Chandler recently. Let's go with him and Skeens at the top of the rotation. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you expect Jones is going to be back. Burrows maybe looks like he could be a guy.
Oviedo's back at AAA pitching well.
Starting pitching is a strength that you should deal from.
They are desperate for hitting. Now, the guy makes a good point, though. Here is, we don't know. He is right about that. Swinski does great at AAA. Henry Davis is the best example. I mean, you have a guy of that pedigree, the number one overall pick. And if he didn't go one, he's certainly going in the top 10. And let me tell you what he's done, for instance, at AAA in his career. In AAA, Henry Davis has 294 at-bats. He has 15 home runs and a 965 OPS. So if your preference is to get a proven major league bat, yeah, I'm with you. But like I said to that guy, who? Stephen Kwan? Does Mitch Keller bring him back? Do you have to include Bednar? He doesn't have that much power, although he's a really good all-around player. Two All-Star games in a row. Do you go with the guy that my friend, Sean, don't call me, Seth Meyers wants? Jaron Duran of the Red Sox, who has a little bit of control left? That's the other thing. You're obviously not going for a rental. I think the Pirates are pretty much buried for this year, Sean. But Duran has a little bit of control. He's hit double figures in home runs once in his career. Is that what you want?
Kwan's kind of a similar profile. He's not a power guy, but he's a big-time contact hitter. He'll put a lot of balls in play.
Yeah, and a really good all-around player. I'm just saying, I don't think that there's that guy out there for Mitch Keller and Bednar combined. It's a dilemma, and which is why I would go for the guy with star potential who's knocking on the door at AAA, knowing there's no guarantees. What was that last guy's name? I don't know
Greg,
what his name was.
Greg,
he sounded like
Youngstown?
Tony. Yeah, Greg.
Yeah.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Very hot with a chance of a shower. A high of Lawrence Timmons, 94 degrees. Coming up, let's go out to Latrobe, at least with our topic. And that is Aaron Rodgers and Terry Bradshaw. And also, some very big words coming from the Steelers about the Steelers in regards to their defense. Uh-oh, that has not worked out well in the past. Let's talk about that coming up next on Pomp and Joe.
Good day. We got a lot to learn. We got a lot to go. A lot to go from here. I think we can be a top five defense in this league, maybe even number one if we do the right things consistently throughout the season. So we'll see.
Oh, no. Here we go again. I think part of Steeler delusion, and I'm talking within the walls themselves of the front office, the coaching offices and the locker room is that they seem to constantly think that they're better than they are. It's like a disease. Like, hey, we're the Steelers, man. We play great defense. That's where it all begins. That's why we never have a losing record. Okay, but where is evidence that you've been a great defense lately? That's what I want to know. And when I hear the talk start to get bigger, then I really get worried. They have put more resources into this defense, into their defense for a number of years now than any team in the NFL. It's the highest paid defense in football, and it seems to think that it's really good, except it's not, or it hasn't been. The overall mediocrity of the organization is just graphically displayed in the numbers. And once again, I know I've mentioned this number before. Over the past 4 years, the Steelers are 38, 32, and 1. 38, 32, and 1 with a minus point differential. That's about as mediocre gets. And the point differential isn't small. It's like minus 129 or something like that. And I'm including playoff games in the overall record, of course. They've made the playoffs 3 out of those 4 years, 38, 32, and 1? That's Miami Dolphins territory. They're basically the Seahawks of the East. I don't know how anybody interprets that as anything but mediocrity. Maybe high-end mediocrity, sure. Or maybe just mediocrity. It's a minus 129 point differential over the last 4 years, the Steelers, all of their games. All 71. They've played 71 games in the last 4 years, the Steelers have. They've won 38 of them, lost 32, and tied one with a minus 129 point differential. That's just flat out mediocre. I don't know of any other way to look at that. And when you consider that the rationale around here is we're gonna play great defense. That's number one. Great defense. Not good. We're gonna be great. We're going to give ourselves a chance to win every game. Defense travels. And now this year, the big themes are going to move people around more. We're going to be more versatile. We beefed up the defensive line with Derek Harmon. Here we go. So you have Deshaun Elliott saying he feels like they could be top five and maybe number one. You have Mike Tomlin. Jerry Dulac wrote about this last week, and as he put in the lead to his story, it's a rare occurrence when Mike Tomlin discusses in-season schematics during camp. It's even more rare when he discusses them so extensively and, yes, excitedly. But it was almost as though, Dulac wrote, the Steelers coach couldn't contain himself when he openly talked about his revamped secondaries and the possibilities that exist with Jalen Ramsey and Darius Slade Jr. And as Dulac said, Tomlin hasn't been this emphatic in Latrobe since he expected his defense to be, quote, great and dominant in 2022. This stuff just keeps replaying itself. How did it wind up in 2022? I feel like a teacher now. Does anybody remember? Anybody want to raise a hand on that one? You in the back. Well, they finished 10th only in overall defense. You're right. They couldn't stop the Ravens' third-string quarterback when everybody knew he was going to run the ball late in a game here that they needed to make the playoffs. What was his name? Brown was the last name, I believe. Remember, they went down to their third stringer, and the Steelers couldn't stop him. The great and dominant defense of 2022 that barely finished in the top 10 in overall defense gave up 35 to Philly, 38 to Buffalo, and 37 to Cincy. The same group essentially came back the next year and finished 21st overall in defense in 2023. gave up 75 combined points to Arizona, New England, and Indy in that hideous three-game losing streak. Then T.J. Watt gets hurt, and then the Bills do whatever they want with them in the playoffs. And then we all saw last year when, again, they were supposed to have a really good defense, highest-paid defense in the league. They ranked 12th overall in defense. The Philly game, the Eagles took the ball with 10.5 minutes left and never gave it up. Baltimore crushed them twice. Kansas City embarrassed them. And then you got to the playoff game and they gave up 300 yards. I don't think this is the time, in other words, to be talking about how good we're going to be defensively this season. Top five, maybe number one. How about this? We sucked in that playoff game. It was a total embarrassment. And the next time you hear us talking about how good we are defensively will be after we do something in a playoff game instead of become the first team in the history of pro football to give up 40-plus points in three straight playoff games, which they did before holding somebody to, what, 28 or 30? The Bills, I guess, to 31? I don't want to hear it. And I think it's a bad sign. And back to the Dulac story, Tomlin saying when you have guys like Ramsey and Slay and Joey Porter, we can match up and play man-to-man versus anyone. Make no mistake, those top three corners, they're going to be on the field. I don't care what offenses come out in. All right. So Joey Porter Jr., is giving you that much confidence to go out and talk like that? He was a guy who at times got picked on last year. I think everybody who watches the Steelers regularly would agree that he took a step back last year. Darius Slay, it's generally believed, is going into his last year. At least that seems to be the vibe. And while he can still cover, he had zero interceptions last year. We're not talking about that Darius Slay. Jalen Ramsey can still play, for sure. Maybe at a high level, but they might need him more for safety than they do for corner. I don't know, in other words, if this is the time to be talking big about your defense. Porter. I feel like it's going to be a hard matchup for any offense to go against three elite DBs that we have on our team. Who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? Who are the three elite DBs on the team?
I'm guessing that would be he, Slay, and Ramsey.
Okay, that's one. Maybe in Ramsey. Who are the other two? He's including himself?
I would imagine.
What?
So, yes.
I don't like the vibe.
Unless he's a big supporter of Juan Thornhill.
I think it's always good to have confidence, and he needs to believe that. Don't get me wrong. But to come out and say it at this point, Porter says, yeah, I feel like it's going to be a hard matchup to go against three elite defensive backs we have on our team. It's going to be a nightmare for them. It is? I mean, I guess we'll see if it's a nightmare for Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson.
I was going to say, we'll find out against Cincinnati because that's a matchup that would really test any secondary.
So that gets back to what I truly believe about the Steelers, again, from the front office right through the locker room, is that there's a profound sense of delusion year after year after year. And I think the national media has shared that about this team. Oh, I'm going to the Steelers. Man, what a great defense. What? When's the last time they had a great defense? What are you talking about? The last time we saw them, Kirk Herbstreit was intimating that they were quitting on Tomlin in a playoff game against Lamar and Derrick Henry because they simply couldn't stop them or contain them to any degree. They gave up 300 yards rushing. Is this the time for big talk with your defense? Because you made some changes defensively? I don't think so. I think we can be a top five defense in the league, says Elliott. Maybe number one if we do the right things. I'm not going to deny at all that they're talented. Of course they are. They have TJ Watt for starters. I think Alex Highsmith could bounce back with a big year. He was injury plagued, but I'm very unsure about others. Cam Hayward was flat out great last year, but at some point, and even he and Watt were banged up and pretty ineffective, if we're all being honest with ourselves, down the stretch last year. The secondary to me is more of a question mark than anything else. Is Joey Porter Jr. good? I know he thinks he's elite. Apparently Tomlin thinks he's elite. Do you? At 412-928-9370, 928-9370, to my way of thinking and what I've seen with my own two eyes is that this is maybe one of the most overrated defenses in all of football, especially when you apply the price tag. Bang for your buck? This is as overrated as it gets. Did you see that defense on the field down the stretch last year? Now, it wouldn't surprise me a bit if we get glimpses of greatness. That can happen. It has happened with the Steelers every year. There's always enough talent around here to remind us of what they could be. And I go back to games like some of the openers. The year they smashed up Joe Burrow. That looked like it was going to be a great defense. The year they hammered Josh Allen early in the year in Buffalo. That looked like a great defense. Shoot, last year. I and others were talking about this could be very special. But in retrospect, I think you learn a little bit. You know, they went into Atlanta and Kirk Cousins was just a shadow of himself. And was horrifying last season. So was that something to be that proud of, going into Atlanta and playing well? Then Denver, Bo Nix hadn't gotten going yet. That was a good game defensively. The Chargers, Herbert got hurt, but they still had a really good game. And then they go into Indy and really got embarrassed. By first Richardson, and then he left early, and then Flacco. Then Dak Prescott, who didn't have a good year, came in here and mounted two late long touchdown drives where the defense needs to close that game, especially the highest defense, highest paid defense in the league, simply couldn't do it. Then they string together some good games. They have a good game against Lamar. And then they can't stop the Browns late. Then they get shredded in a win by Joe Burrow. And then we all saw what happened in December. So I expect more of the same. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that they're great. Wouldn't surprise me if they got off to a great start again. They got the Jets, Seattle, New England, Minnesota. They get some young quarterbacks in there. And then Cleveland, for God's sakes. So we may be sitting here, you know, after 5 weeks saying how good this defense is. They may have some epic performances. They have before. But then we'll start to find out more when they go face Joe Burrow and Cincy and a little bit of Jordan Love and then Herbert in L.A. and then Burrow again, then Josh Allen, then Lamar, Jared Goff, then Lamar again, unless the Ravens play their JV team again as they seem to most years late against the Steelers. We'll find out. I don't know if this is a defense built for the long haul. I hope it is. I hope that Hayward is great. I hope he can finish this year. Finish the way he starts. I hope TJ Watt is healthy. That seems to be a problem late in years. I hope Darius Slay lasts for 17 games. I hope Ramsey lasts most of the year and is around at the end. I hope all these guys are. I hope Patrick Queen is better than he was last year when he admittedly was probably a disappointment. I just don't think that this is the time to buy into the myth again and push the myth that we're a great defense, that the Steelers have a great defense. I don't care what offenses come out in. We can match up and play man-to-man versus anyone, says Mike Tomlin. Really? Okay. Okay. Let's see it. I get very nervous when Tomlin starts talking like that. I start to think of the Unleash Hell year of 2009. I think of him saying he was waiting for the Patriots rematch back in, what was it, the year they lost to Blake Bortles. Can't wait. We'll see the Patriots again, intimating that it would be the AFC title game. Well, they never got there. And then just 2 years ago, he expected his defense to be great and dominant. 3 years ago, 2022, great and dominant. Gave up 35 to Philly, 38 to Buffalo, 37 to Cincy. They didn't even make the playoffs. 412-928-9370. What goes through your mind with the big talk about the defense when the last time you saw them as a Steeler fan was about as embarrassing a performance as I've ever seen from a Mike Tomlin defense? Now, you can go ahead and talk about Tom Brady putting 8 million yards on them in that Anthony Smith game. There have been other horrifying games, the Tebow game, the Blake Bortles game, and others. But it felt to me and to you and to every single person, the millions watching across the country, that the Ravens could just do whatever they wanted, right? Just do whatever they wanted. Third downs, they were 10 for 15. Total yards crept up around 500. Lamar didn't even have to pass the ball, but he was 16 of 21 for 165. 300 yards rushing until the final kneel down, which got it all the way down to 299, Sean.
That makes it a lot better.
And I don't know if you have the Herb Street quote in there in Limit's folder. You had the first downs, by the way, were 29 to 11 in that game. The plays run, the Ravens ran 72 plays to the Steelers 45. And you had Kirk Herbstreit in that first quarter when the Ravens put 21 on this highly paid Steeler defense. Kirk Herbstreit saying this.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. There's nothing.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God is what I say to that. That's the last time we saw these guys. So if I were Cam Hayward and TJ Watt and people like that, I would have huddled this team the first day we were together and say, how about we keep our mouths shut, everybody in here, until we actually do something? I'm TJ Watt. I've never won a playoff game. How about we all shut up until we do something? Instead of talking about how we don't care who you come out with, we'll cover you man-to-man in any game. Or we're going to be top five, and if things go right, maybe first overall. And we have three elite defensive backs, including me, says Joey Porter, although he didn't say including me. He intimated that. What are we doing here? How about go out and play like the highest paid defense in football? How about play consistently, game after game, and especially one playoff game, like a vintage Pittsburgh Steeler defense before you all tell the world how great you are? I don't know how you feel, but that's how I feel. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And it's 11:32, time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. For the Buell Insurance Agency. We're also going to get to Aaron Rodgers. Sean, how about a call on that?
Yeah, we're going to go to Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Joe, how did I hear you gave up golf for a week? What's up with that?
I was up in the mountains of West Virginia. No golf courses, at least none that I saw.
Well, we'll have to get together and play again.
I love it. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling about the Mike Tomlin. I just think he's just one of those guys that's all talk and no action. I mean, you keep boasting about this great team that's never materialized. I just think he's not a good coach. I'm sure he's a great guy to play for. He's probably a great guy. Seems like it, but for what you need him for, no.
Well, what I would say to that, Mark, and I appreciate the call, is that at one time, Mike Tomlin was a great coach. He was. But when I tell you that they haven't been competitive in a playoff game in 8 years, and when I tell you that in the last four, including playoff games, they're 38-32-1 with a minus 129 point differential, who in their right mind has Mike Tomlin as like a top five coach or even, you know, top 10? I would put him borderline top 10 maybe. I think he's a good coach. I think he could be a great coach in another situation. But specific to this topic, I worry when the Steelers start talking big about themselves, because I feel like delusion is a disease around here with this team. I really do. From the front office on out, like, what have you done? I don't care if it's Art. You can start with Art. What has this franchise done in a long, long time? I consider 1 year to be long in the NFL. You know, it's a lifetime. They've gone eight lifetimes without being competitive in a playoff game. You just heard Kirk Herbstreit, but we're going to come into camp and tell everyone how great we're going to be again? What are we doing? Sean, who else we got?
We will go to Jim.
Jim, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
I just have one little kind of snide comment. You know, you don't have to worry about the Ravens this year because their coach is always doing the impossible, you know. Yeah, they ran well last year, but I guarantee you when they come in this year, they won't even run Henry.
Okay. What does that have to do with the topic?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, he'll just outcoach himself.
Okay.
Like they do.
Thank you.
All right.
Did he outcoach himself in the playoff game against the Steelers?
No, but that's just one time he did what he should have done.
Oh, what about
didn't run.
Okay. Well, you can make an argument, I guess, that Harbaugh is underachieving with Lamar Jackson, but at least they're winning divisions and playoff games every year. Next. All right, well, you're right. Sean is yelling at me to go to break. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I did
Sean.
Not. I'm not. I'm
no,
not
I don't. I know.
Here.
I know. You'll be back Wednesday, right?
I will be. Yeah. You got intern Dominic tomorrow.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Is he going to take another shot at Pomp?
That's what he does.
That's what he does best. I love that kid though. He is a lovable.
He's a great
guy.
Young man.
Yeah. Wonderful man. All right. Coming up next, Aaron Rodgers was presented with a chance to shred Terry Bradshaw, and he passed, which I thought was smart and rather admirable. Let's play the question from Kyle Brandt and the answer from Aaron Rodgers coming up next. Breaking Steeler news as we speak. Cordarrelle Patterson, we hardly knew ye. Fired on his day off, it looks like, Sean, right? Is that what I'm seeing here from Adam Schefter and others?
Seems like that is the case, according to the source himself, Cordarrelle Patterson.
What is he saying? What was his was it an Instagram, a tweet? What was it?
It was a tweet, and it says, breaking news, Pittsburgh Steelers release old wash-up Cordarrelle Patterson on his day off. So it might not be too happy that it happened. But yeah,
sounds accurate on all counts, honestly. And Cordarrelle Patterson was a great, great player. Kick returner, especially. Early in his career. I'm watching his rookie year in 2013. The guy's phenomenal. He's ridiculous. But by the time he got here, he was broken down. I don't know why he was still around here for the beginning of camp. It was one of the great mysteries of this team. He clearly is. As he described himself, now he described himself sarcastically this way, but he's accurate. Old washed up Cordarrelle Patterson on his day off. Would you agree with that, Sean, that it was baffling why he was here in the first place still?
Yes. And even more so when you saw that he wasn't the factor in the return game, and rather he was just a sparingly used but often used in kind of crucial situations running back.
Yeah. Well, this makes all the sense in the world to me. So let's go to the Aaron Rodgers clip from the weekend. Now, this story, of course, starts with our old friend Terry Bradshaw, who's never afraid to say what he thinks. Some of his opinions are a little bit sort of whacked out, I'll say. But he ain't afraid to say what he thinks, and this is what he said about Aaron Rodgers upon the signing.
That is just, to me, is a joke. What are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me?
I mean, that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man, that guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go somewhere
you.
And
you.
Chew on bark and whisper to the guys out there.
Oh, is that tremendous. Now, Rodgers. Nobody ever said Rodgers is not an intelligent man. Nobody ever said that. And he's saying all the right things. Now, I don't know if people still have such an allegiance to Terry Bradshaw and the 70 Steelers that if you say anything badly or pick a fight with one of them, you know, they're going to get all mad at you. But I don't know. I remember Doug Whaley a couple of years ago, our very own beloved Doug Whaley. Remember what he said about Jack Ham, that he couldn't play in today's game? Might have had a point. I don't know. I think Jack Ham could. But man, people were all over him. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So I think in Rodgers' mind, as Kyle Brandt, who's really good at what he does, presented the question to Rodgers, I can imagine the wheels turning like, all right, I need to say the right thing here. Aaron Rodgers has a history of being just a little bit thin-skinned when he's criticized, let alone when somebody goes to the lengths Bradshaw just did and said, this is a joke. He should stay out in California eating bark or whatever he does. But what Rodgers did here, I thought, was very smart. I thought this was a great answer to the question. And again, you could almost feel him thinking to himself, all right, what's the right, the last thing I want to do here is pick a fight or extend a fight with one of the great Steelers of all time. So this was his answer when Brandt said, what did you think of what Bradshaw said about you?
I've known Terry for a long time, okay. being a part of Fox. Terry's a legend. He's an absolute legend. He won 4 Super Bowls. He's had a legendary career in the media. But Terry, like a lot of people, doesn't know me. And so he's got an idea of what he thinks about me based on what I've done, the documentary, what I've said, mm-hmm. Darkness Retreat, whatever the hell you want to talk mm-hmm. about. I'd love to get to know Terry on a deeper level. And I feel like if he gave me a chance to get to know him, then we'd have a good friendship, because for me, I have nothing but the utmost amount of respect and deference for what the greats have done, because they laid the foundation for us to be able to play in this great game, to be paid like kings, and to carry on the tradition of excellence that guys like the Bradshaws of the world in the 70s and Bart Starr in the 60s and Lombardi and Joe Montana and Steve Young and Troy Aikman and mm-hmm. Brett Favre and all the greats that have been over, Tom Brady, you know, we're standing on the backs of those guys, and it's because of how they played and how they carried themselves that we're able to have this opportunity to still play this great game, to get paid really well, to set ourselves up for our future. So I'd love to get to know Terry on a deeper level if he's open to it, and maybe we can go chew some bark or whatever the hell he's talking about together.
I know what he's talking about. It's the ayahuasca, which is, I believe, consumed by drinking it instead of chewing it. But a tremendous answer, I thought, there by Aaron Rodgers. Did you, Sean?
Yes. That said, you start a new job, you're always going to be on your best behavior at the start. And so if this was posed midway through the season, if the Steelers are, you know, kind of having some struggles, maybe it's a different answer. So it is a good sign that he's saying that now. I just wonder, is that going to be the case once you get into the fire of the season?
Yes, I wonder about a lot of things. Once Aaron Rodgers starts to get hit, and I'm seeing some problems here as I was away in West Virginia for the week up in the mountains with the Steelers' offensive line. Already 2 injuries. I don't know how serious they are, but it's not good to be kicking off. I think tomorrow's the first day in pads with 2 of your offensive linemen down and not having a whole lot of depth, as Mark Cabali reminded me most teams don't have offensive line depth. Well, I don't think most teams have two offensive linemen down already either, do they? So this is problematic. And I'm curious with Rodgers moving ahead here. I think people are overdoing it a little bit. You know, they seem to be very excited about the fact that he talks to teammates. Did you expect him not to? About the fact that he's smart and saying the right things? It's July. About the fact that he, you know, didn't have a problem with having a roommate in DK Metcalf. This is all pretty normal stuff. I don't think anybody expected him to show up like slugging ayahuasca and acting like a jerk. And it might not happen. As I said at the top of the show, I've become more open to the idea of maybe this could work. I'm still betting against it. I don't think it will. But it will in spurts. It will the way late stage Ben worked. I mean, I don't think we talk enough about how in his age 38 and 39 seasons, Ben threw for a combined 55 touchdowns. He had Matt Canada for one of those years and Kendrick Green right in front of him. That, when you have a center who can't play, who's overmatched like that every game, that's just a schematic blow up. That's like that's a number one recipe for disaster. And somehow Ben worked around it and got that team to the playoffs. Threw for 22 that year, 33 the year before. So I fully expect, like a lot of aging athletes, that Rodgers will be able to recapture the magic in spurts. The question is, where is he going to be? Where are they going to be in December? What's going to be going on then? You know, is his body going to last through the season? Having said all that, all we can judge him on, it's like having a new work partner or a new friend or a new neighbor that you heard some things about. It's like when I covered sports in terms of being a beat writer. Everybody had a different opinion of a guy like Yager, for example, or James Harrison. And my philosophy was, I can only judge somebody on how they treat me. Now, obviously, if there's some other things they've done in their lives that are, you know, reprehensible, as there have been with certain guys that I've covered in the past, you know, that's bad, right? So we're not talking about a great guy if somebody's done something really bad. I'm trying to think of an example, but there have been plenty in sports history. But even so, in terms of my relationship with that person or my view of that person, you know, on a day-to-day basis, I can only judge them on how they treat me and what our interactions are like. It's not really based on their history. And I'm going with the whole Rodgers thing the same way. Like, so far, he's done the right things and said the right things. I thought that was a great answer from Aaron Rodgers. And yeah, I don't know what it's going to be like, any of this, when he starts to get hit. And the only thing that really matters, by the way, is how he plays. How is he going to play this season? There was a quote, now I forget who it was, from one of the Dolphins defenders last year who said the first time around he basically looked done, but the last game of the year he looked really good. Is that the Rodgers we're going to see? I'm open to it. I'm open to anything at this point, Sean. I think that him and Mike Tomlin are trying to sort of buck the odds in a big way together in terms of a coach who's been with the same franchise forever and hasn't done anything of note really for almost a decade, trying to recapture the magic with that same franchise. That never happens in sports. And then Aaron Rodgers as a 41 turning, this is his age 42 season, being really good. Other than Tom Brady, that's never happened. So the smart bet is that this is just, in the end, it's not going to work out. They're taking a swing here. It's not going to work out. But that's why they play the games. That's why we lift all them weights, Sean. Maybe he'll come out and maybe he'll flourish in this system. Seems like old Artie wants him to play more behind center than he would want. I'm going to ask Mike DeFabo about that coming up. I don't think it's going to work, but it has a chance, I'll put it that way. And so far on things like this, Aaron Rodgers,